Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 30th of September, and that's the last day of September, and therefore also of the quarter. And I am recording at 9:50 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, let's start with stock markets, and, well, it's a bit mixed, but still a nervous environment here overall. Japan, which had hit new recovery highs around mid-month for its moves on all the major indices, a little weaker against that background of overbought condition, 0.84 of a percentage point down for the Nikkei 225. In China, well, the China A shares remain very steady in here, and are up. It's only up another quarter of a point, but they're just not giving up much ground, and I believe that's a new recovery high for this move. But, and this is a big concern here, because the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index is down another 1.28%. It's fallen over 7% here in quick order. Over the last three weeks and a bit, and this is due entirely to the heavy-handed policies within coming from China, which are trying to curb some of the freedoms that had been agreed when the transfer between Britain and China actually took place. So the demonstrations, well, you will have seen this in the news overall, but this has really weakened the Hong Kong stock market. And what it just shows is that China has a very heavy hand, and whenever it leans on anybody, this time Hong Kong, previously we've seen it with Taiwan, we've also, not recently though, but we have seen it not that long ago, earlier this year, with Vietnam. And I think China China's running some risks here, because it's not making friends. And yes, it's a huge, powerful economy, and everybody wants to trade with China, and understandably so. 1.3 billion people there, but it's behaving, dare I say it, a little bit like it's not playing by the Marquess of Queensbury rules, if I put it on that basis. It's not a total rogue nation the way Putin's government has, we see with Putin's government what that's done to Russia. But it's a concern, I'll put it that way. Okay, elsewhere, mixed, small declines, small gains. We had in Asia Pacific, India up a tiny bit here today. And the so-called former, well, they don't call them this anymore, but the ASEAN indices, if you used to call little tigers, they are all down just fractionally. Now, Europe had a better showing in here today, particularly some of the indices that have been weak recently, and they picked up a bit. For instance, Italy up 1.78% and Spain up 1.31%. The Euro Stoxx 50 up 1.22%. So overall, the patterns don't look all that bad, with the exception of the weakest of the European indices. They are steadyish here overall, within a range. And despite the sanctions, and which are certainly a headwind, and despite the very the minimal growth that they have, if any, and despite the deflation risks. So why is that? Why are they steady? And I think we can put it all down to the euro, which continues to weaken. For instance, it's at 1.2631 against the US dollar. Remember, that was 140 a couple of months ago. And it's down, the euro's down against just about every currency going, I imagine. And that has helped the stock markets just a little bit because it's good for exports outside the region, and it also makes Europe cheaper to buy for those who wish to move in, particularly to some of the German autonomies. Okay, Wall Street was a little bit weaker on the close. The S&P down just over a quarter of a percentage point. Same for the NASDAQ Composite Index. But here's what I don't like. Remember the canary in the coal mine? That's the Russell 2000. Well, it's down to 1101. That is beneath the early August low. So we have the combination of a lower high and also a lower low within what looks like a big type 3 developing top formation. And the previous lows within this pattern are slightly lower, but you could hit them in another down day like today. And this clearly looks toppy here overall. The other side, though, is that Wall Street's main indices are really quite steady. There's nothing that's all that bad. They've come back a little bit over the last 2, 3 weeks, but excuse me, we don't have any serious erosion there. Although there's little doubt in my mind that we still have an Alibaba hangover, and I think again, nervous sentiment generally. What's helping to contribute to that sentiment? Well, it's not the bonds. The U.S. 10-year is at 2.50. But I would say it's the weakness of these commodity markets. Now, here's some real eyebrow raisers here. The Brent crude down $2.30 to 94.90. So that's it's broken down out of the range and extended its decline. Remember, that was testing 116 a little over 2 months ago. Now, obviously, I'd much rather have it at this level here because had we seen a spike to the upside, that would have been extremely serious. So we've certainly avoided that. And the WTI, that's the U.S. price, down over $3 here today to 91.51. Actually, it's picked up a little bit in after-hours trading, 91.56, but it's still down over $3. So, well, let me carry on though with this review. Looks like all the industrial commodities were down here today, and I'm including the precious metals in that. Palladium getting clipped, 1774. That's down over 15. Silver fell out of bed, 19. Beg your pardon, 1696. 1696. So that's down over 60 cents. And platinum down over $9 to $12.98 and change. And gold bullion not doing well, down over $7.50 to $12.08. So really soft. And copper, that U.S. copper chart, it's back to 301, and 300 is the low. For copper, you've got to really go back to mid-April earlier this year to see prices lower than that. So again, giving up all the gains, not that they were that dramatic, but that we had seen since April. And I should have added one more to this. Jumping around here now, I should have added one more to the stock markets here. Russia extending its decline. The ruble has plummeted to 39.6 rubles to the U.S. dollar, right up around this level or near that 40 ruble level. That's sort of the Russians' panic point here, where they said that the central bank would come in and do everything in its power in terms of intervention to hold the level, you can cough up a lot of money with that type of move if you're not able to convince investors that you've got the resources to back it up completely. So, a lot of nervousness here in the markets overall, and I'd be careful. I don't think we face a disaster at this time because the monetary policy is still quite favorable, but people are worrying about hikes in U.S. interest rates. Now, we had that a little bit last year at one stage, and then everybody relaxed and the Fed calmed them down and said that things were going to take much longer before rates started to move up. I mean, my own guess is that we're not going to see any rate hike in the U.S. this year, or and possibly not even during the first half of next year. But that's certainly far from a certainty, I'll put it that way. And it depends really on what the actual news is that we get out of the U.S. economy. And while that's not bad, it's not so robust to make the Fed feel that it should come in more quickly. The Fed usually tends to wait a little too long before starting to raise rates, and I think they'll be happy to err on that side this time around as well. Okay, I think I've covered all the currencies. I didn't cover all of those. The dollar strong in here still. I did mention that that euro at 126.29. Sterling also down, and I can give that to you as soon as I see it. It did at 1.6212, so that's down a little bit more. Virtually everything is down here against the U.S. dollar, the exception being the Chinese renminbi. The Chinese renminbi weakened against the dollar yesterday, but regained over half of what it lost, and so it's still within its range here against the greenback. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.